May 14th, 2023. And God said, "Let there be moms." Isaiah 66, verse 12 and 13.
For thus says the Lord, "Behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed, you will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem." Okay, today we've had, of course, the conclusion of the Sunday school and the Sunday school program. And a few years ago, Carol decided that because it always ends on Mother's Day, that dads never get into the deal. So that's why it's called Parents Appreciation Day. But forgive me, today I'm going to talk especially to and about moms. And God said, "Let there be moms." I kind of like that because going back to the beginning, of course, what God said, you know, and on that sixth day of creation, when he created man and men and women, and he said this, let me see if I can find it here. "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps." God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Male and female. What a surprise. But anyway, we talk about God, and we read here that men, women, are created in his image, in the image of God. There have been volumes, books written about Jehovah God and the characteristics in an attempt for us to, of course, gain further understanding, as we should, and draw closer to God himself through the knowledge of him. And it's no wonder that, you know, we can never really run out of things to say about God, because the scripture even tells us that we can't. So let me just say a couple of verses here. Let's see. "He does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number." Job 5:9. Tells us the number of his years is unsearchable in Job 36. It says his greatness is unsearchable in Psalm 145. "How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways" in Romans 14. And so today, the reading, though, from Isaiah kind of reveals a characteristic of God that mothers here can most closely identify with. Shall we pray? Father, once again, we gather here today on our Sunday worship time to worship you, to give you praise for the great God that you are. Your ways are unsearchable. They are unfathomable, but yet we dig deeply into them, into the Word of God, to understand, to know our God, to draw closer to him. And Father, we thank you what you have revealed of yourself, those characteristics that are a part of us because we have been created in your image. And we are thankful, especially today, for those characteristics that have been imparted to the moms. And we give thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what we read, those verses we just read out of Isaiah, it speaks of a time when the people of Israel will be safe and secure in Jerusalem during the millennium. And it likens the comfort that God has given to them. It is like a mother. And we see that in God, mother-like qualities are exemplified in him and passed on then to moms. Another portion of scripture says that he is the God of all comfort. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, who is the God of all comfort. Paul goes on to say that we're extended this comfort in order that we might extend that comfort to others as well. And if there is one thing that mothers are especially good at, it is the comforting of their children. Now, we recognize today, of course, that that is not true in every family. But by God, and by the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who know the Lord, those moms and that characteristic certainly is there, that they are a great comfort always to their children. It's not that fathers are insensitive to the pains and the disappointments of their children, but rather he has chosen by his sovereign nature or his sovereignty to impart to mothers certain God-given qualities of himself. It was his election how he would create men, how he would create women, and what he would instill in them. And though God has combined in himself all of the virtues of certainly perfect character, he has chosen to instill only certain of those to mothers and certain to fathers, and also some that both share in varying degrees. So in the same way, the scripture tells us that he has distributed certain gifts. When you go to the New Testament, it talks about the Holy Spirit distributing gifts as he wills. And so God has distributed to men and to women various characteristics of himself that are then applied in their daily lives and to their families and in their very being. So it is interesting too, isn't it, that this sensitivity of mothers, that mothers have, is demonstrated in the animal kingdom. I think we all see that, and especially as we see it in the higher order of animals. Many of you maybe have seen, there was a wonderful documentary on elephants who have very, very good great brain power. And I remember it well because here you have in one instance, this baby elephant mired in mud and stuck, doomed to death. And of course the mom would not give up until she got that child out. But even beyond that, there was a baby elephant that was born crippled. And what did we see? We saw mom, elephant, and her sister, an aunt, out of there. The two of them holding this baby elephant up that he could walk with them and travel with them and not left behind. And I would guess as that baby elephant grew, he would have ultimately been able to move on himself. Something unbelievable. But you see it even in the lower, even in some of the lower animals in the kingdom, birds. I just relate some. This is a few years back. We've always had, for a number of years, we've had, you know, bluebirds come to a couple of our bird houses. And we had this pair, and bluebirds, if you may or may not know it, they mate for life. So we had a pair of bluebirds would come, and it was just fun kind of watching them as they worked to raise and to bring the chicks out. And they came back every year for several years, and the same pair, we could tell, was undoubtedly, they come back to the same house. I remember the first year they had about 6 or 7 young ones. Next year there was another batch. And it was always a joy watching them when those birds were finally hatched. And then you would see the mom go to work to call them out, to encourage them to leave the nest. First she would stand up on the peak of the barn and call to them. And one or two might have the guts, you'd watch them, they'd look out and finally jump off. But every now and then you'd get one that was kind of stubborn and afraid. Well, mom would go and hide up in a tree behind the nest and call. Well, one year we waited for them to come and we never saw the male. But we saw the female all summer. She was building her nest and doing all the things that she would do until the time of the hatch. And watching this. Where in the world is the mail? So finally, one day, she gets up on the peak of the barn, as she generally did every other year, and called, and called. No one comes out. This went on for several days. Then she went in the tree behind there. They couldn't see her. Called and called. Never came out. After about 4 days, she finally left. And when I opened that nest, what did you find? 5, 6 eggs. They were infertile. That's why we hadn't seen the dad. He was no longer with her. But that instinct was there for that mother, even though they were never born. It's probably one of the saddest things I had seen and witnessed, you know, with some of these animals. But you may recall that this characteristic of God, this mother-like quality, was demonstrated by Jesus as he brooded over Jerusalem and their rejection of him. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," he said, "the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather you, to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it." Like a mother, God comforts us in a number of ways, and like God, mothers comfort their children in the very same ways. God comforts us by his presence. Scripture says that God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Though God says that he will never leave us, and his comfort will always be there for us, sometimes folks elect to leave home. To leave home, it's in quotes. And thus they leave the fellowship and the comfort of God. But the door is always open, left open. It kind of reminds you, remember Motel 66? We'll leave the lights on. We'll leave the lights on. And the light is on then for the child to return. And perhaps the most well-known of Jesus' parables is that parable of the prodigal son. Remember that? And there the dad is looking off in the distance and waiting for that son to come home. We may all recall various times when we were children, when we needed that comfort of home. It's not the abode, the house. It is where the mothers are. It is where a child may find peace, love, joy, and refuge. Sometimes it is the house, too, because we know what goes on inside. I remember coming back one night, evening, in the kayak, coming from a big beaver dam behind our place. And I'm off about over a quarter mile, 3/8 of a mile or so, paddling my way back in the dusk. And there you can see the house off in the distance and the light on, one light on. Very comforting, isn't it? And that's what it is for children. Sometimes, you know, I remember a while back I read a story about a young lady, a young woman who left her home and did not leave in amicable circumstances. And she was gone for a number of years. When she returned, she decided to return one day, kind of like the prodigal son, I would imagine. And when she came, she tried the door, and the door was unlocked. And her mom told her, she says, "You know, from the day you left, we've never locked that door. The door has been remained unlocked." That's mom. How difficult it must be for a child to return day after day, perhaps to an empty house. And by that, I mean more than anything, an empty home. Some of these children whose moms are absent, whose dads are absent. Bad business. I know my mom was working for a while when I was a kid, but that didn't bother me to come home if she wasn't home at all, because I knew she was going to be there. I knew she would. I didn't have to worry about it. God comforts us also in his words. Infants recognize, certainly mom's voice immediately, dad's I'm sure as well. Probably some of you saw, I'd say about a year ago, it was in the news or in the video somewhere I saw, and this infant who was deaf, had no hearing as a very, very young, I don't know how old, but it was maybe months old, and they were able to bring that child's, that infant's hearing back. And they videoed this thing. And mom, of course, that child was used to seeing mom's face, and mom would talk to the child. But that first day, that face just lit up. It's mom's voice. The very first lesson sometimes about God, life, and love come from the mouths of mothers. They are the first, oftentimes, to encourage a child to walk and talk, and that's because oftentimes dads are at work. Again, we are in a situation today where moms are working as well. And so it takes kind of a joint effort on many of these things. Of course, I'm kind of thinking back oftentimes of my days, and hopefully there are some folks still able to live that way with moms at home for their children at all times. But no matter the child's age, even to adulthood, for the mother, the child will always be a child, to a degree anyway. How many a man or a woman has been discouraged in life and has had failures, but has never experienced a chastening or a critical word from mom. To mom, they are always that child. And you hear countless stories. I've heard them of athletes and scientists and others who their moms have encouraged them over the years, and they've become highly successful. God comforts us, yes, in his words. Scriptures, they read that last verse today, they are God-breathed. They're God-breathed. Words from God are certainly comforting. To Jesus, a question arose from people. Or Jesus, let's put it this way, Jesus posed this question to his apostles one day. Remember the Bread of Life discourse, the 6th chapter of John? And people were leaving him because of what Jesus said. So Jesus said to the apostles, he says, do you guys want to leave me? Do you too want to leave me because of what I've said? And what was the response? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. God comforts us in his word. God comforts us sometimes by his silence. Now, when I say that, I don't mean turning one's back on you. God doesn't turn his back. We read that at the very beginning here. But sometimes, silence, you've heard that, silence is golden. How often a mother senses that her child is much more comforted by her hugs and kisses than by many words. Whether that child has injured themselves, whether they've done something bad, whether there have been repercussions for something they have done, mom looks at it and instinctively knows that this child is in trouble, and any further discussion will only be salt on the wound. There will be a time, if necessary, for counsel, for admonitions, perhaps even some kind of punishment. But now it is the comfort of silence that is needed. What does God say? Come unto me, and I will give you rest. If we have sinned or have suffered loss, and we come to him in our grief and sorrow, we instinctively know that he will not turn us away. Our sins have already been forgiven. It is Satan, the enemy of the brethren, and the father of lies that would like these sins to be reiterated. If we have suffered loss, disappointment, failure, the loss may remain, but the hurt is lessened when we are consoled simply by God's presence. There is a poem that aptly expresses this truth. In the heart of Jesus, there is love for you, love most pure and tender, love most deep and true. Why should I be lonely? Why for friendship sigh when the heart of Jesus has a full supply? Let's just change that just a little bit. In the heart of mom, there is love for you. Love most pure and tender. Love most deep and true. Why should I be lonely? Why for friendship sigh when the heart of mom has a full supply? God comforts us also, and moms comfort us by their empathy. Mothers are often the child's first confidant, someone that child may confess fears, sorrows, joy, worries without reserve. I can tell mom. Just as he may expect nothing more from mom than a smile for a job well done, he can expect mother's empathy when in pain or sorrow, knowing that mom knows exactly how I feel. And thus it is with God because of Jesus. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. We can draw near to mom with confidence to her throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Moms are good to help in our times of need. A well-known hymn says this, through it all, I think it's, Andre Crouch. A well-known hymn, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon his word. So we see that the comfort of a mother, or that a mother gives to her children, is a characteristic that they are especially endowed with. And it comes straight from the heart of God. Mother's comfort ranges from perhaps the very simple and everyday things, making cookies, warming clothing on a cold morning. Your mother ever done that? Put your clothes in the oven? I remember that years ago. To warm them up on a cold morning. To the very difficult, explaining perhaps the betrayal of a friend or the loss of a dearly loved pet. And so there is that Jewish saying, and let me conclude with that. God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers. Well, God is everywhere, we know that. But you get the point. God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers. Let us all remember our moms and what they were to us and what they have meant to us. God bless the moms here today. Thank you, Jesus, for every mother here, every grandmother, every great-grandmother who have loved and nourished, cared for their children, to bring them up in the knowledge of the Lord, but to bring them up as adults who love the Lord, love moms and dads, and work a productive and blessed life. And so we give thanks for them today. In Jesus' name, amen.